Did I say James chapter 2? Amen. Let me get myself together here. James 2 and verse 18. Brother Ivy, why don't we start at verse 17? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge for us to live what we believe. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, as we continue to navigate our way through a dark, decaying, and dying world, allow your word to illuminate, Lord, the way for us. We thank you that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Order our steps with your word. Let us follow your word. Bless your word this morning, Lord. Let it not only be heard, but be applied, and that we would be doers of your word. We thank you and we bless you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we've been on this journey, this journey of faith, so we started in Ephesians 6 and 16, where it says, above all, having the shield of faith, that you would be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Amen. Not that it would prevent or stop, but it quenches those fiery darts, because they're going to come. They come quickly. They're hot. They come from places that we know and places that we don't know, places we hope they would have never come from and places we hope they never come from. But the point is, they're going to come. So it's led us all the way over here to where James is telling us that we can have faith. We can have the shield of faith, but with the shield of faith, it must have some evidence, some action. Otherwise, it's no faith at all. So here we are. We just read verse 17. So verse 18, it says, yes, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So I'll ask the question, can you really have faith and no works to go with it? Wow. So when God puts us to the test this week, amen, and as the ladies have been reading, as your world falls apart, and as you go through it, and the test of faith comes, do you have the evidence to say, God, let your will be done? God, you work this out. I have faith in you, Lord, that is not what it seems. I actually walk by faith and not by sight anyway. So regardless of how it looks, I know that God's going to work it out. So can you have faith without works? We went to verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So we talked about not just believing and trembling, but believing and trying, believing and trusting. We get to verse 20. He says, but will you know, O foolish man? That word vain is translated to foolish. He's saying, and excuse my language, you are a fool if you think that you can have faith without works. Said there must be some evidence in your life. I was listening to radio this week. I don't know if it was Chuck Swindoll or Charles Stanley or one of the other ones I listened to during the course of the day. He said that your life is the only Bible some people will read. Your life is the only gospel that some people will see. And after observing you, would they want to become a Christian? I said, wow. Is there any evidence that you are actually living for God, that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that you actually serve the God of peace? Would they look at your life and say, you know what? they have something that I want to have. On your job, in your family, you are the only gospel some people will see. That's why we must have evidence to go with our faith. So verse 20, he's saying our faith must be active. So as we put on the whole armor of God and we have the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword, which is the word of truth. But if you don't have active faith, then none of it else nothing else matters. If your faith is not active, your faith must be working all the time. As you're living, your faith cannot take a vacation. If you're unemployed, your faith cannot be unemployed. Even if you're sick, your faith cannot be sick. You might be on your job, you might take a day off, but your faith can't take a day off. Matter of fact, when you're on vacation and when you're unemployed and when you're underemployed and when you're sick, that's when you really need your faith to be with you. Your faith can't take a day off. It must always, if it has a button or a switch, your faith must always be on the on switch. It's always set to active. Then we get to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? We had a good time reading that last week, right? It's some things you just won't see until you raise the knife. He didn't see the ram in the thicket until he was already committed to saying, this is it. Son, God's going to raise you up, or I don't know, but this is it. Some things you will not see until you're totally surrendered. And verse 22 says, seest thou how faith wrought, or faith was working. Faith, and I told you the word sunergeo, which means it's working together. It helps in work. It's a partner in the labor. His faith was a partner with his works. And by works was faith made perfect or complete. So write this down if you're taking notes. God's formula for spiritual maturity: faith and works equals completion. Faith plus works equals completion and revelation knowledge. That's where we have to be at. That our faith and our works, we know that God can complete something. And Abraham was our example. Some things we will never see, some things we'll never experience in our families, in our jobs, in our marriages, with our kids, because we haven't totally surrendered to God. Some things you won't see in your singleness. You're waiting and you're waiting, but you're not totally surrendered. You haven't lifted the knife and sacrificed it all to God. And so your faith and works can't be complete. And I told you last week, that was my biggest fear, that come so far and then do it my way, and God said, all you had to do was lift the knife. All you had to do was let it go, and you would have saw what I had for you. All you would have to do was just give it to me, and you would have saw what I had for you. And maybe that doesn't bother you, but that sure bothers me. That bothers me a lot, that I would miss what God has. Trying to hold on to something that he gave me anyway. Amen. He blessed him with the son. Said, just give it back to me. Watch and see what I can do. It takes faith to get to that point, family. It takes faith to get to that point. We notice Abraham was obedient and in order. And the word says in Romans 14 and 19, make a note of it. I don't want you to turn there because of time. But in Romans 14 and 19, it talks about whatever is not of faith is sin. So either you're walking by faith or you're walking in sin. And read the entire chapter 14, because it's a lot in there. That it covers every aspect of life. and doing all to the glory of God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Somebody underline that. And it was charged to him. The evidence brought a charge and an account which called him righteous. So the evidence in his life said he was righteous. He was living right. And then verse 23 says, at the end of verse 23, and he was called the friend of God. Wow. When the evidence of Abraham's life was put on trial, he was charged with being right, living right. And he was called the friend of God. Based upon our life right now, you and I, would they call us the friend of God? Based upon the evidence. Oh, family. All right. All right. Is my mic still on? I know I'm getting in your business a little bit. And we're getting ready to get a little deep, but not complicated. See, there's two kinds of people in the world, and that's it. We know it to be sheep and goats. We know that, right? But then here we go, the other two. Either you're a friend of God or you're enemy of God. It's no in between. The people we see on our jobs, the people we see at the gym, at the store, at school, they're either a friend of God or enemy of God. You and I, the people we see in church, either a friend of God or enemy of God. And that's between you and God, and that's the evidence. That when your evidence is tried, it's going to come out. When my evidence is tried, it's going to come out. And you're going to be classified as you are now, either the friend of God or the enemy of God. And here we go. So a little deep, but not complicated. And ladies, as you're out and you're meeting guys and, oh, you know, pastor, he's a nice guy. But is he a friend or enemy of God? What does his lifestyle say? It's not about being a nice guy. Is he a friend or enemy of God? Our youth need to understand that, too, when they're out and not saying our parents are getting on my nerves trying to ruin my life and you don't understand these are old fashioned. No, is he a friend or enemy of God? And men, I don't care how she looks and I don't care what she smells like and how she's built. Is she a friend or is she an enemy of God? It's what it comes down to. And we just have to be careful because society wants to tell you something else. And two men can marry each other and they're still in the will of God. The devil is a liar. Are two women marrying each other in the will of God? That's not a friend of God. That's the enemy of God. We call it out. It gets deep, but not complicated. See, it's only two types of people. Either you're a friend of God or enemy of God. Hey, well, I'm not in the middle. Or I'm just kind of cool. If you're just kind of cool, you're the enemy of God. It's already been established. That's who you are. And the world wants to try and tell us something else. But remember, it's only been here, America especially. It's losing all its Christian values. It's almost a hostile environment to Christians. It's only been here 238 years. Be careful you listen to 2014, 238. The scriptures are not old fashioned. Christ said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his words. Amen. We got to stand on the word. We got to know the word. We got to live the word. Either a friend or an enemy. God help us today. Verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified. And that's not justified as far as saved. That's talking about justified as far as living right. So when our works are tried, you can see if a man is living right or if a woman is living right. And not by faith only. You can't say, I believe in God and live like a devil. And say, but I believe in God. And we can't be impressed when they get up with these award shows and all that and say, I want to thank God. Either you're a friend of God or an enemy of God. You can't say, I believe in God and live like a devil. It doesn't work. You're on one side or the other. So we're not impressed with people saying they believe in God. Because in verse 24, it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified. By works, a man is considered living right. That word justified is righteous, living right, right living. It's by your works. You can see, underline, you can see. And Christ told us we will judge them by their fruits. So then by your works, you're made right and not by faith only. Then it goes to verse 25 and it talks about Rahab. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, I didn't want to go here, but this is the second time Rahab came up. She's a hero of faith. And now here she is. James talks about her. So we got to spend a little time. Let's talk about Rahab. Let's go to Joshua 2. And then you have some scholars who said Rahab, that her previous life, she was a harlot, but now she was just an innkeeper. So we know that regardless of what our past is, God can still use our present and our future. Some people don't want to let you forget your past. God says he casts it in the sea of forgetfulness and he remembers it no more. Amen. Hey, somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And Rahab, with all her baggage and with all her history, she still made it into the hall of faith. So James mentions Abraham and he mentions Rahab. I say Joshua 2. Start at verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they stayed there. Verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out. That's Ebonics right there. They be come to search out all the country. And the woman, which is Rahab, took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I don't know where they went. Wow, that's somewhat problematic because she just lied. She just lied. And John wants to say not only is she a liar, but she's a harlot. And so I would ask the question just to think, is it okay to lie on God's behalf? Just think about it. We're going to get deep, but not complicated. I'm not trying to complicate things. That's deep and complicated. I stay away from those right there. We'll come back and visit that another time. That's just food for thought. But working on God's behalf, she said, hey, they were here, but I don't know where they went. And actually, she hid them. But we see a snapshot of God's providence as well, where God sent the men to Rahab's house. If they would have went anywhere else, they would have been, thank you, exposed. But God sent them there. So just like you and I, God sends us to certain, we have to be dialed in. Family, I'm going to tell you every time I think about it, continue to pray and fast each morning, spend that time with God. So you are moving with God. So when he sends you somewhere, you know, that's right where you need to be. And you can discern where you're not supposed to be at. But how do you know if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, if you're not doubting to God? Okay, so we see the providence of God. So underline that. And then we see that God will speak and use anyone. And somebody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because that includes us. And we don't want to think about where we came from. We try and forget that. And walk around holy and pious and praise the Lord, saints. I was born like this, amen. Amen. God can use anybody. Verse 5, and it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out where the men went and didn't know, and said, pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. So they're closing the gate. And if and Rahab's house just happens to be, if this wall was her house, the gate's shut, and then you can go through a window, which takes you out of the city. So she just happened to live where it's outside of the city. And so they say, go after these guys, hurry up, and you'll overtake them. Verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order. Somebody underline in order upon the roof. Remember, God was telling us last week, get your stuff in order. Get your house in order. Get your life in order. Get your marriage in order. Get your singleness in order. God is saying, get in order. Obedience and order. The two O's. Verse 7, and the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So the guys who were chasing them, bam, they shut the gate. So nobody else gets in, nobody else gets out. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Somebody underline, whoa, whoa, whoa. Some kind of way Rahab had known about God. Some kind of way she had a relationship with God. And we see people when they might be in a certain lifestyle and we don't know what the history is. But believe it or not, they know. They know about God. You can't really judge a book by a cover. That's why you have to go and share and speak the gospel, because somewhere in there, they know about God. How did she know? God spoke to her? I don't know. She's the innkeeper. Maybe people pass through. I don't know. But look what she says in addition to that. And she says to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all that and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Folks, everybody knows how powerful God is, and then we're not even living like it. We're supposed to be his people, and we're the last ones that live like it. People will tell you about God. And you're supposed to be the Christian. Look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And so this also shows that Rahab has been waiting. I've been waiting for somebody to come and talk to me about God. I've been waiting for my opportunity to find out about God. I've been waiting for my opportunity to serve God, to live for God. Somebody's waiting for you on your job, in your classroom, in your family. Somebody's waiting. Because they know what God has done. They just don't know how to get out of their mess. They're going in circles. And then here's their opportunity. She jumped at it. God, I'm going to serve you because I know. I already know what's going on. Don't judge me by how I look and what I'm into, but I know. I just needed an opportunity. Thank you for coming to my house. Somebody's waiting for you to come to their house to share. They don't know how to get out of their mess. They're going in circles. she had been waiting for. She knew everything. Listen to what, and the children of Israel, remember, they after 3 days, they started complaining. And here is someone who was a harlot saying, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And y'all complaining about y'all don't have food and no water. And y'all went through it. And the cloud is guiding you by day and the fire by night. And I've heard about all that. I want some of that. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. How do they know that? That's amazing to me. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And at verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She was waiting to say that. Somebody's waiting to say that on your job. They're waiting to come to that revelation. Oh, God, she was just waiting for her opportunity to serve God. Didn't know how to get out of her mess. God visited her house that day. Just like you and I, we didn't know how to get out of that tailspin. We were in a tornado. We were a dog chasing a tail. And the tail leading the dog. Instead of the dog leading the tail, we were the tail and the dog was leading, and the tail was leading the dog. We know what we were doing. We're all caught up. Thank God somebody came and shared the gospel with us. I was looking for a way out. What I tried didn't work. It never works outside of God. I see why she made it into the Hall of Faith. I see how she made it, Sister LaRose. She had been waiting. And when she got her opportunity, she took full advantage of it. So we got to pick it up next week. So let us go ahead and just close out in prayer. Wow, Lord. Let me just read that scripture. Let me pray that scripture, Lord. The Lord God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Lord, we thank you that you got it covered. From heaven to earth beneath and everything in the middle, which includes us. God, thank you. First off, God, we're so grateful that you took us out of our mess. We were just like Rahab, looking for a way out, wanting to serve God, but not knowing how. And then you sent somebody who shared the gospel and we responded, Lord, just like she responded. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Because you didn't have to. The providence of God for the men to come to her house. And it was not so much for the men. It was for the men, but it was for her because she had been waiting. God, you, that's how it's, the faith work. It's with our action. It's all working together. It's working together for the men. It's working together for Rahab. It's working for you. It's working for I, it's me. It's working for the people on our job, in our families. We just have to walk by faith and not by sight. There must be evidence. God, continue to work it. We trust your work. Our faith is active. It's in the on position. Thank you for the power that's in the name of Jesus. We thank you. You broke these chains from Rahab and set her free and put her in the Hall of Faith, Lord. We pray that you break the chains in our life that's holding us back from living a complete faith-filled life with action and right living and works to go with it. Love you on today, Lord. Love you on today. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Anything that's not of faith is sin. So God, we ask that you would forgive us of any sins we committed knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, when we just didn't where we miss the mark. That's what sin is, just missing the mark. Where we let you down, Lord, because we didn't put the action to our faiths. God, forgive us for that, God. Give us another opportunity to do it right, to be better, to act better, to live better, to share with someone, God. And we were intimidated because of what they look like, but they were looking for a way out. And we didn't share. Forgive us for that, Lord. And they're waiting. They're looking for a way out. They're caught up. They don't know how. They know about God, but they don't know how to serve God. So, Lord, I want to pray for anyone right now. Say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. That's your first step of faith. Elevate your hand. That's you. Say, Lord, thank you, Lord. You want to rededicate your life? Elevate your hand. Church membership, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord, for this South Bay Abundant Life Church. God, you're so good. Greatly to be praised. As Rahab said, did she study? Did someone come and share with her? We don't know, God, but we know that she knew about you. She had heard about what you've done. How you healed, how you delivered, how you set free. And she was hoping to have an opportunity for you to show her, Lord, do it for me. I know you've done it for others. Lord, do it for me this time. It's me standing in the need of prayer, of healing, deliverance, to be set free. God, do it for me. I know you're the God of heaven and of earth above and beneath the earth as well. God, do it for me. According to your will. I'm going to ask my sister Debbie to come up. Thank you, Lord. You coming up for rededication, church membership?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'll ask my sisters to come in. Debbie's made the commitment to rededicate her life and to join the South Bay Abundant Life Church. I just thank God for what a... Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. And just like we're surrounding Debbie now, Lord, we promise to continue to surround her with your love, with your grace, with your admonition. As iron sharpens iron, Lord. Commit to sharpening her. Challenging her to be all that you created her to be.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, as you put in our heart to join the family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, to rededicate her life to you, Lord.
Yes, thank you.
To walk by faith and not by sight, to totally trust you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. Your word says that we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness and you will remember them no more. You remove them as far as the east is from the west, never to come together again. We thank you, Lord, that each morning we wake up, we're greeted with new mercies.
Yes, we are.
God, you're that great.
Yes.
As we go through your word is so much. It's so deep, but not complicated, Lord. We can't exhaust it, Lord, but we definitely thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Father.
That it's a living word.
Yes.
That allows us to have life and that more abundantly in you.
Yes.
We're so encouraged this morning, Lord, by your word.
Yes, we are.
Started in Bible study, then in worship and prayer, and right now, we thank you and we bless
thank
you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
So, Lord, we cover her now. We thank you, Lord, that she, being a part of the South Bay Abundant Life Church, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We hope to guide her into the method that you have. Her purpose, we know, is to make disciples and build the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But the method, Lord, we promise to help guide her in the method that you've chosen to build her up, to edify her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As we build the kingdom together. Thank you, Lord. Your word says you added to the church daily those that should be saved. Thank you for adding to this body.
Thank you.
We bless you on today.
Yes, we do.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
John. Come on. Can you give William the microphone? Debbie, I'm asking you to stay as we prepare to dismiss. Come back up, Debbie.
I just want to thank you all
for
blessing Debbie and to our family like y'all did me when I came out of prison during 20 years. And I'm not having no family here. You are my family.
All right.
And I'm thanking y'all for blessing Debbie to be part of your family.
Yes.
And as this day, as y'all my family, I'm asking Debbie to be part of my family. Ask you to be my wife, be my love, and cherish me as you cherish God. I know when I first met you, I asked you one question. I asked you, who do you love more than you do yourself? You said you love Jesus more than you do your children and yourself. Jesus come first, your children come second, then you, and whoever come after that. I love you for that. And that's what I asked God for. And he found me, he led me to you. Thank you.
I love you so much.
Stand to your feet. Wow. I got two microphones. I'm so jacked up. Wow. What am I doing? Oh, members, remember our members meeting is upstairs. Let's go and continue this Holy Ghost party. Lord, thank you that you've given us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed. Let's head upstairs. Sister Hazel, Trace, and I will be up there in about 10, 15 minutes. God bless you.